All right. Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? Good. Before we get into our message, there's a couple little things that we want to do. First of all, if you need notes, raise your hand. The ushers would be glad to give you a note-taking sheet. If you missed that or you need an extra one, ushers are going to take care of that. And then the next thing we're going to do, if Will Flatbush would come on up and the pastors would come on up, we're going to pray over Will. He's leaving Tuesday in 2 days to India for a three-week mission trip. His wife, Vanita, is already there. She's been there for some time. We just want to pray over him, send him out with our blessing. That's a long trip, and we love Will. He goes regularly to India, is establishing a ministry over there. So, Will, come on, stand right here where everybody can see, and let's just pray for him. Would you just stretch out your hand and stretch out your faith, Lord? We thank you for Will, his heart to serve children and people in India and minister. I thank you for using him, blessing him, filling him right now with the words to say, the songs to sing, everything that he needs. I thank you for your hedge of protection around him, angels that guard and protect him in travel. And in everything he eats, we say he will not get sick. Yes. He will not get tired. He will be strong. Yes. And I especially ask you to give him wisdom as he and Vanita are making decisions about future ministry there in India, that he will have clarity from you. He will be guided by the Holy Spirit to know what to do. Bless him. We send him out to India as an extension of our church with your blessing, with our blessing. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you, Will. Praise God. And also one other thing I wanted to share with you. The pastors will be gone this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at the All Access Conference in Jacksonville. That's a conference for ARC. That's the Association of Related Churches, the association that we belong to. Keep us in prayer. It's just an awesome time. Joyce Meyer is going to be there. Brian Houston is going to be there. There's lots of workshops in the day that help us with all our different areas of ministry. In fact, anybody from the church that would like to go, you can see Pastor Mike and he'll give you the website. You could register. You might just want to shoot up there for the day. It's right there in Jacksonville at Celebration Church. It's going to be an awesome time. But the church office will be closed this week because we're all going to be gone. So I want to let you know about that. All right, part three, a series that we started a few weeks back called Running with the Giants of the Bible. And the list could go on and on. And we started week one, we ran a lap with Noah, the mighty man of God, Noah. We learned some things from his life. We asked, what might Noah tell us today if he could give us some insight? And then last week, we looked at the man of God named Abraham, who we all know as the father of faith, and he taught us a lot about faith. Today, we're going to look at the life of a man named Joseph, great-grandson of Abraham, right? So remember last week we looked at Abraham, how God called him out into the wilderness, and he used him, and he blessed him, and he gave him that son that he waited 25 years for. His son was Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. The 11th son's name is Joseph. So you see the connection here as we go down. And what we're doing is we're looking back on this life. I remember I got saved in 1974, and we were doing a little Bible study. Sergeant with the Metro Dade Police Department, Bob Falco, was teaching in my aunt's house. And they were studying the Bible. They started at Genesis 1. And I got in there, and they were chapter 20, and I caught up. And I remember when, as a new Christian, reading the story of Joseph, I still remember it to this day. It still stays with me. The things that I learned, I just remember, this is such an awesome story. I often go back to Joseph in times of test in my own life. The last 13, 14 chapters of Genesis, basically one-fourth of the book of Genesis is devoted to this man named Joseph and what he went through, because it's such an interesting story, and he had such character, and that's what we're going to look at. And our keynote verse, if we go with that to it with me here, is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says this. Now, you remember Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith. When it lists, it starts with Abel, and then Enoch, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and it goes down through great men and women of faith. And then it sums it up by saying, I can't even mention all the great men and women of faith. There's so many of them. Maybe some of your loved ones If they're in heaven, they are part of this crowd, this cloud of witnesses that's watching. That's what it says here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Think about that for a minute. Some of your loved ones and the men and women of faith, they're witnesses. We're surrounded by a cloud. They're rooting us on. What would your grandma or grandpa or father, mother, brother, sister, somebody you know that's in heaven, what do you think they're thinking right now? And what would they be saying to you? I'm sure they're saying, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get dismayed. Don't get discouraged. Don't doubt. Come on, keep fighting the fight. Keep running your race. That's what they're saying, and that's what we're pulling out from them. They have a different perspective. It's neat to draw on people that have a different perspective than you. I'm 60 years old, so I've been out of high school for what? A long time, 40-something years. It always amazes me when I go to my high school reunions and you look at people and you have a whole different perspective on life and people. So some of y'all that are still in high school, you might want to talk to some of us older folks so you could get a different perspective. Because I'll tell you the truth, some of the things that you thought were so important in high school, they're really not all that important. Because now, I can see that now because I have a different perspective. I didn't see it then. Well, same thing with life. If we can talk to those that are already crossed over to the other side, if they can give us some words of encouragement, they would have a different perspective. And that's what we're looking at. We want their perspective from heaven. The cloud of witnesses, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, what should we do? It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. And really, the life of Joseph is all about perseverance. Let us run with perseverance. That tells us there's going to be opportunities to quit. There's going to be things that we have to endure, that we have to press through, that we have to persevere in. The Bible nowhere says that once you get saved, you'll just float through life on flowery beds of ease. No, it's just not the way it is. But Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to make it through. You got to have the, I'm going to make it through. But don't be discouraged and don't be dismayed when things don't always go the way that you thought they should. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. So I want to tell you today, everybody in this room, you have a race. You have your own race. You have a race marked out for you. It's not my race. It's not the person on your left. You have your own race and you've got to run it. And if you don't run it, nobody's going to run it because everybody's got their own race. You got to run your race. Find out what it is and run it with all your heart. Yes. Joseph, what a tremendous man of God. Now, let's get a little insight. He's the 11th born son of Jacob. Thing is about, even though he was the 11th born, he was the first born to Rachel. See, Jacob, he had a falling out with his brother Esau, and he left and went to some relatives. He stayed with this guy named Laban. I think he was an uncle or a cousin. And he immediately fell in love with one of Laban's daughters named Rachel. And he agreed to work 7 years to marry Rachel. And after the 7 years, he got married, and Laban tricked him. He gave him his other daughter, Leah. And then he said, well, I'll give you Rachel, but you got to work another 7 years. So first he married Leah, and then he got Rachel. So what happened was his first 10 children were from Leah. And then number 11, Joseph was the first from Rachel. So he favored him. That wasn't a good thing to do. And it didn't set well with the other 10 brothers. And he had one more son, Benjamin, from Rachel. So he ended up having 12. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel. Y'all heard about the 12 tribes. It's the 12 children of Jacob, whom God eventually later changed his name to Israel. That's where we get the word name Israel, and the 12 tribes of Israel. So that this is the Joseph that we're talking about. He was favored, and his brothers despised him because his father showed him favor. In fact, one day his father handmade a coat for him. It was called a multicolored coat, or the coat of many colors. And it showed the favor. So his father didn't use a lot of wisdom there. But the other 10 brothers, you can imagine, they resented all this. Then comes along and God gives Joseph a dream, which we're going to read in a little bit. And we'll see how that worked out with his brothers.
He had this dream, and it was a dream from God. It was God's dream, and it showed that God had big things in store for Joseph. But things didn't go as planned. In fact, the subtitle of this message, it's in your notes there, is "For When Life Isn't Turning Out the Way You Planned." That's what today's message is all about. For when life isn't turning out the way you planned. This message is for anybody who's ever been tempted to give up, throw in the towel, quit. You've been discouraged. You wondered, why did this happen? Maybe you've been tempted to give up on your marriage. Maybe you've been tempted to give up on life, give up on church, give up on people. Maybe you've been tempted to give up on a dream or a hope that you have. Maybe you've even been tempted to give up on God. To all that, Joseph would say, this is your first fill in the blank, it's the whole thing. Don't give up on your dreams. I believe that's what Joseph, one of the things, we're going to look at several things that he might tell us today. If Joseph is standing in the stands and we're running around this track and he's one of our cheerleaders with the pom-poms and he's yelling, but he could come down and run right alongside of us, what might he say to us? The first thing I think he'd say to us based on his life story is don't give up on your dreams. He would say, keep on believing. He would say, stay strong. He would say, don't compromise your convictions or your integrity. They will serve you well later in life. I believe he'd say, it's just a test what you're going through right now. Pass it. You might be here today, you say, you know, Pastor, I can't really relate to that. I've never had that in my life. I'm not really going through a test. I want to encourage you to take notes because I assure you, you will go through a test. It's going to happen. And you might be here, you say, well, Pastor, couldn't you be positive? Yeah, I'm positive. You're going to go through a test. You want to take notes. It's going to happen. You just haven't been around long enough, but if you've been around, you're going to go through a test sooner or later. So if you're one of those who say, I can't experience that, take good notes, because I guarantee you, you will be tested. Every man and woman of God that we read about, the heroes of the faith, have been tested. You and I will be no different. I heard about these two atoms were walking down the street talking to each other. And one of them said, I think I lost an electron. He said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm positive. I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of days when I felt like Pastor Mike loves chemistry jokes. That's good. You got to get those in there. I've had plenty of days when I felt like giving up. Can anybody relate? In fact, I've had seasons, more than just days, seasons. I've had whole years where I felt like giving up every day, but thank God I didn't give up. I like what Van Crouch says. He said, I enjoyed the thought of feeling like I was going to quit because I knew I wasn't going to quit. You know what? So you just kind of enjoy the thought of quitting, but you know you're not going to quit. That's when you can enjoy it. And we will all have seasons in life because, you know what? God's perfecting us. You're not there. You haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. So therefore, God gives us times of great refreshing and great blessing, but some things can only be learned in the crucible of affliction. I'm sorry to tell you, but it's just fact. It's just in the Bible. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We have to experience both of those. Embrace them, enjoy them, but handle them the right way and you'll come through the other side stronger. I've said this to myself many times going through those seasons. If it doesn't kill me, it makes me better. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger, makes me better. You can't control the things that happen to you, the things that people say about you, the circumstances of life, but you can handle your attitude in the midst of them. And that's what God's after, our attitude. And if we don't pass that test, we're going to be like the people of Israel who went around the same mountain for 40 years because they couldn't pass the test. Thank God when God tests us, it's an open book test. You can open the book anytime you want and find the answer. But it's also like this. If you don't pass it, you get to take it again. Yeah, that's right. You keep taking that test till you pass it. That's the grace of God. And we got to pass these tests. So what these challenges in life are designed to do is to drive us as individuals to our knees and closer to God. All these seasons that I've had in my life of tests and trials have just driven me closer to God, made me appreciate Him even more, made me say, you know what, I don't care about anything as long as I've got you. If I've got you, I'm all right. It doesn't matter what people are saying and what's going on in the circumstance of life. You know, think about it. If you've got God, what can they do to you? What can happen to you? The worst they can do is kill you. Wow, how terrible is that? I get to see Him face to face. Think about the trials of life. They're designed to drive us to our knees and closer to God. We'll all have lots of opportunities to give up. Let's pick up Joseph's story here in Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read 5 through 7, then 19 through 20. Joseph had a dream, the dream I told you about. Let's pick it up here. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. They already hated him. This dream made them hate him even more. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. And again, what happened to him, he didn't deserve, and it was wrong. But what I've learned in the midst of circumstances and adversities, there's something you and I can learn that I can change, because we are not perfect. And Joseph was given a dream from God, but he may have not used wisdom in how and when he shared it. Some things maybe you just kind of need to keep to yourself or something, you know. He shares this and he says, listen to the dream I had, brothers that don't like me already. Yeah, you're going to really like this dream, guys. This is a good campfire dream. We want to talk about this. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Hey, don't you like that? Come on, brothers. Brothers, come on, bros. Come on, bros. Come on. Leave me hanging. That's a good dream, bro. They didn't like the dream. They didn't like Joseph already. Now we pick up the story a little further on. His father says the brothers are out tending the sheep, tending the animals. They traveled around, you know, they moved them far distances. And he says, you know, I haven't heard from them for a while. Joseph, he kept Joseph at home. He didn't send him out. He said, go check on them and then come back and give me a report, because their cell phones aren't working today. You go check on them. And the brothers, it says, they see him coming, and it says, here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now. It's some great brothers, aren't they? Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. That ain't right. Huh? That ain't right. They're bad, aren't they? These bad brothers. From that moment on, his life took a 23-year detour. Bible scholars tell us that he was 17 at that point and he was 40 when this whole ordeal was over. Can you imagine at the age of 17 going through this? He got a dream from God. Praise God. I'm going to be used of God at the age of 17, and then spend 23 years in slavery, in affliction, in persecution, and in prison. Huh? That'd be a lot of fun. And that's what happened. His life took a detour. You remember? And they decided they'd go and kill him. They threw him in this pit and then sat down to eat. So we're hungry. Before we kill him, we're going to have something to eat. Now, one of his brothers, Reuben, decided he was going to try to save him. But while he was gone, a band of Midianites came by. And then they thought, these guys were so corrupt. They thought, why should we just kill him and not get anything? Let's sell him. We'll get some money. And but God has a plan too, right? Yes. So they end up selling him into slavery to the Midianites. They take him to Egypt and they sell him to a guy named Potiphar, who uses him as his slave. Reuben comes back and he's gone and he tears his clothes. And what they do is they pour blood on his coat. They took his coat and they took it to his father. Can you imagine the hardness of their heart to take it to their father and say, hey, we found this in the field. Do you recognize it? Yeah, that's the one I made for Joseph. So he's sold into slavery in Egypt. These brothers are so hard-hearted. I want to give you four things Joseph might tell us that he learned from his experiences. Number one, he'd say, don't give up on your dreams. Number one, even if you don't start off well. You might be tempted to look back and say, you know, God's spoken some things to me, or I have some dreams and some desires, but you know what? I kind of messed up, or this happened. It didn't start off too. Things aren't starting off. He just got this dream, and things are not starting off well. He's not looking like that big chief standing up there. He's not the big chief. He's a slave. There's some great men and women of God that didn't start off good either. But some of us are plagued by our past, and this is a lesson we can learn. Some of us, instead of driving our life by looking through the windshield, are fixed on the rearview mirror. I don't know if you ever tried that. Try driving your car, looking in the mirror, or looking to the side. You never end up where you think you're going to end up. And we've got to sometimes get healed of the past, break free from the past, so that we can actually look ahead to where God wants us to go. If you're always looking back, you can't get the right path going forward. You know, this is why we have small groups, and in particular the Life small group. I've gotten so much freedom from the past and healing. And, you know, even not even just the stuff that happened 10, 20, 40, 50 years ago, stuff happens every day that needs, I mean, it's a constant process. You know, that's what Life small groups are designed to bring, healing in our lives, where we've got baggage that we're carrying from the past that keeps us from seeing through the windshield clearly and going forward. Take advantage of them. Go through them regularly. Go through them routinely. Every year, go back through it. Stay in one. It's a great process. I've had so many years, just that process going on in my life. It never finishes. It's like layers. You just keep going down. The devil's called the accuser of the brethren. He wants to accuse you. The Apostle Paul had lots of skeletons in his closet. Do you realize that? And yet he said one time, forgetting what lies behind, I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. See, don't you know that the devil continued tried to beat him down and say, hey, you know, you're preaching the gospel. You were killing these guys not too long ago. You were bad. You were mean. You were ugly. And he said, I'm forgetting what lies behind. And not just the bad stuff, but I think he also forgot about the good stuff, you know, because he did some great miracles. But he's saying, hey, I can't live in the past. I've got more things I've got to do. I'm forgetting what lies behind. I'm reaching forward. I want everybody in this room to be reaching forward, not stuck in the past. Get healed of the past. Get free of the past. Reach forward. God's got something good for you. The devil's like this. I told you this story before, but it bears repeating. This guy walks into this pet store. He's looking around, and this parrot over in the corner says, hey, buddy, come over here. He said, who, me? Yeah, you, come over here. So he goes over there. He walks up next to the parrot, and the parrot says, come over here. He gets real close, and he says, you the ugliest guy ever walked in this store. Well, the manager hears it. He walks over and slaps him upside the head, and he says, don't you be saying things like that to my customers. Well, the guy was really hurt. He's feeling, imagine being, you know, put down by a parrot. Well, you know, he left. About 3 months later, he comes back. He walks in that same pet store, and that parrot's still there. And he goes, buddy, psst, hey, come over here. He goes, who, me? He goes, yeah, you, come over here. He walks over there, and he says to the parrot, he says, what? The parrot looks at the manager. He goes, you know what? You know what? And the devil's like that in our life. He reminds us of failures, things that, and the devil says, hey, come over here. What? You know what? Yeah, you know what? It keeps plaguing you. It's time to cut that thing loose and get it behind you and forget it for once and for all. And the devil says, you know what? You go, no, I don't know what. I'm not conscious of anything against me, Paul said. I don't remember any of that. I forget what lies behind. I'm going forward. I'm reaching ahead to the things that God has for me. Amen. I don't know what. I don't know what you're talking about. Look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me for his service, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man. That's all the stuff that he forgot. He's just letting Timothy know that I was bad, but I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. forget. You got to deal, cut the past, get some help, get rid of it, go forward. The next thing I think Joseph would say to us, if he could run alongside of us one lap, here's the next thing. Number two, don't give up on your dream, even if those closest don't support you. Imagine, he's being betrayed by his brothers, his own family. And I can tell you from experience, that hurts the worst when the people closest to you, the people you grew up with, turn on you and want to do you in. I know what it's like to be totally misunderstood by my family. I have my dad sit me down and say, we are Italian Catholic. He couldn't separate the two. It's like, this is who we are. He didn't understand that, okay, I have nothing against Catholicism or the Catholics. It's just not the way God directed me. And when I start heading in another direction, my family didn't understand that. They couldn't, it didn't compute. They don't understand. What are you doing? My dad sat me down one day and said, this is the religion I raised you in, of my father and my grandfather. You're spitting in the face of everybody I've ever known in all your generations. That's what he told me. You got to have it within you that God is the one that you live for, even when those closest to you don't support you and don't understand you. Maybe you've experienced rejection and the insecurity that comes. I know I did. I mean, when I first got saved, I was so insecure, I couldn't lead even in silent prayer. I was so insecure, I couldn't watch a football game on TV. When they had a huddle, I had to run up and see if they were talking about me. And it started when I was a child. I remember when I was born, the doctor carried me into the room, and my mother and father were sitting there, and he says, Mr. and Mrs. DeCana, I've got bad news. We did everything we could, and he still pulled through. I mean, injection came into my heart at that point. I remember my dad sitting me down at a young age and say, your mother and I got married to have children. Imagine our disappointment when you came along. All those kind of words hurt. You feel rejection. Have you ever felt rejection? Can anybody relate? Know what I'm talking about. Well, you're in good company because Jesus' own mother and brothers and sisters didn't understand. They didn't. There was a time, there's a couple passages in the Bible where it says they came and tried to get him and say, come on, you know, you've been in the sun too long. Get, you know, quit. They didn't understand. Those closest, and sometimes your attacks will come from those closest to you. Look at this in Mark chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It's talking about Jesus and these people that he grew up with. They said he went back to his hometown. And here's what they said. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't that Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? His sisters are with us, and they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, his own house, is a prophet without honor. Don't let it hold you back. Joseph was rejected and betrayed by those closest to him. If Joseph could run a lap with us, I think the next thing he would say to us, number three, don't give up on your dream, even if the journey is full of surprises. You know, he had a dream from God. It was a God dream. And it eventually came to pass. But I also want to note that visions and dreams and prophecies are conditional. I mean, if Joseph, like he had an opportunity to kill his brothers. If he had taken matters into his own hands, how were they going to worship him? I mean, we do have a free will. We have to pass the test. But life is full of surprises, and the journey will be full of surprises. When God shows you, it's never from A to B in a straight line. Never. It's always a path that you didn't expect. It's always full of zigs and zags. And even sometimes, it looks like you're going in the opposite direction. That what you felt, the vision that God gave you. I mean, here, his brothers are supposed to be worshiping him, and now they're trying to kill him. Wait, what? Hello, didn't you guys hear the dream? It's not looking too good, is it? It might not be looking too good in your life. Don't give up. I believe he'd say, even don't give up on your dream, even if the journey is full of surprise. Let me outline some of the events of Joseph's life. They're going to pop up there. First, he has a wonderful dream from God. Next, he's misunderstood by his family. Then he's accused of evil motives. Then he's almost murdered. Then he's sold into slavery. Then he lives in a strange land far from home at the age of 17. Then he's given favor, honor, and promotion in Potiphar's house. When Potiphar put him in charge of everything. But you remember what happened there? He's put in charge of everything. Potiphar's wife has the hots for him. She's trying to get him to violate his convictions and let, you know, sleep with him, and he won't do it. One day, he's in the house by himself, and she's trying to get him, and she grabs him by the coat. He's got so much integrity. He slips out of his coat and leaves, and then she takes this as an opportunity to accuse him of rape, and he's thrown in prison. So that's what that's all about. And he's given favor and promotion in Potiphar's house. Next, he resists temptation from Potiphar's wife. Then he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Then he's thrown into prison for something he didn't do. And in prison, again, the favor of God comes on him. He's put in charge of all the prisoners. He's given a divine interpretation of Pharaoh's chief cupbearer's dream. And then the cupbearer promises him that when he gets out and gets in with the king, he's going to get him out of there. But he's forgotten by the cupbearer, and he stays in prison for 2 more years. Then he's asked to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Remember, Pharaoh had that dream? And he's promoted to the second highest position in all of Egypt. One day, he goes from prison to the palace, but it didn't happen in one day. It was a 23-year test of his character and his conviction. What do you think? Do you think he had some opportunities to give up? But through every opportunity to give up, he made a decision to do what? Go on. In your life, almost every day, something will happen that will give you an opportunity to give up or to go on. Now you tell me, we're going to go back through this list one by one, and you tell me, I want you to say out loud, what do you think Joseph felt like in his emotions, in his being? What do you think he felt like? And you're going to give me two answers. You're going to say he felt like going on or giving up. All right, let's go back through those. All right, the first one was, and say it nice and loud, he has a wonderful dream from God. What does he feel like? Going on. Man, you're on top of the mountain. He had a dream from God. Then he's misunderstood by his family. What does that feel like? Then he's accused of evil motives. He's almost murdered. What does that feel like? He's sold into slavery. He lives in a strange land, far from home, different customs at the age of 17. Then he's given favor, honor, and promotion in Potiphar's house. He resists temptation from Potiphar's wife. Proud of myself. Did pretty good. Then he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Thrown into prison for something he didn't do. Put in charge of all the prisoners. Given a divine interpretation of Pharaoh's chief cupbearer's dream. Promised help from the cupbearer. Forgotten by the cupbearer. Anybody relate? Stays in prison 2 more years. Interprets Pharaoh's dream that nobody can interpret. Made number 2 in command over Egypt. But see, it wasn't a straight line, was it? It was full of ups and downs, but he never gave up. At any point, at any one of those give up opportunities, if he'd have give up, story would have ended. We'd be reading about somebody else in Genesis. That's what Joseph felt like. What do you do in a give up moment? What kept Joseph going? His relationship with God. His love for God. His esteem for God. Faith comes from a relationship. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love God and have been called to his purpose." You got to know something. You got to know somebody. If Joseph could run one lap with us, number 4, here's what I believe he'd say to you. Don't give up on your dream, even if it takes a long time to realize it. I can promise you from experience, it never is as quick as you think it's going to be or you want it to be. Something about us waiting and having patience that God works through. Here's a scripture. Habakkuk 2:3 out of the Living Bible says, These things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You know what? Here's why. Because God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. You know, we're always going to God with these prayers. You know, I'm uncomfortable. Fix me. You know, give me comfort. God knows that being discomforted is the opportunity for our character to be developed. Now, I want to give you a couple more final words from Joseph. I believe the final words, parting words, we're getting near the finish line. He's getting ready to go back up in the stands. He's going to say a couple more things to us. I believe he's going to say this: focus on what happens in you, not to you. See, our temptation is to always, well, they did this and they did that and this is going on, circumstances. No, focus on what's going on in you. Don't focus on things you can't change, that you have no control over. Focus on what you have control over, what's going on in you. Ask this question to God. When you go through a difficult time, ask this question: God, what do you want me to learn from this? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 out of the New Living says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It's being tested like fire. Test and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on that day." Joseph ended up being honored throughout history because his faith was tested and he didn't break. When Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world, James chapter 1 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance." I believe Joseph would say to this in his parting words, it's the next one in your notes: your response to offense determines your future. It's not a matter of if you will be offended, it's just when and where and how. You will be offended. It's going to happen. And you have to decide how you're going to respond to offense. Joseph had the opportunity to kill his brothers. He was put in that position. I think Joseph might say this to us: travel light, because resentment will destroy your dream. Travel light. People have done you wrong. People have hurt you. Get rid of it. Travel light. Don't carry it around. It's amazing how he responded. Let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 50, when he's elevated and his brothers have no food and they come. They don't recognize him because now he's dressed like an Egyptian. He's probably got that Egyptian, he's definitely got the Egyptian garb. He's learned that the language, is probably got the Egyptian makeup on. They don't recognize him. The Bible says they didn't. They come to him looking for food. Look at this. And here's what he says to him: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done and saving many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. What? What? I'm going to take care of you and you threw me in a hole, bros. You wanted to kill me. No, he's got a different perspective. He's cut that baggage off years ago, not just now. He let that go. He forgave them. Unforgiveness is a poison that kills you. It's like drinking poison expecting somebody else to die. It won't happen. When you get rid of it, you'll find that you set a prisoner free, and the prisoner was you. Let's deal with the past. Set people free. Travel light. You may need to release some poison or resentment before you leave here today. We're going to do that in just a few moments. Joseph has one more thing to say to us. Last fill in the blank. Even every dream has tough times, but remember, God is always with you. Every dream has tough times, but remember, God is always with you. Psalm 139, I'm just going to read you some verses. They're going to be up on the overhead. Just let these minister to you. We're just getting ready to kind of wrap things up and conclude. And it's a time for us to start dealing with our own lives and see where we've been. Look at this. "If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Yeah, he's there with you. Isaiah 43, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you." Maybe you've said, you know, you've gone through something and you're like, "Where is God?" No. He's there. Don't ever impugn his character. Don't ever act like he's not there. He's there. He's with you. Whatever you're going through, that's the best thing about trials is God is closer than ever. You have to run to Him, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they're not going to sweep over you. Just let this minister to you. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You might be going through something right now and you're like, I'm not going to make it. This is going to destroy me. No, just look at this. You're not going to drown. You're going to make it. Just start telling yourself, I'm going to make it. It's going to be all right. I'm going to make it through this trial. I'm going to make it through this test. Jeremiah 1:8-19. Do not be afraid of them, whoever it is that's out there, for I'm with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. They will fight against you, but they're not going to overcome you because I'm with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. And then finally, the words of Jesus. He said, surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. I'm with you always. I want you to know God is with you. God is in you. God is for you. Lord, I just pray over your people right now. If you would just bow your heads and just think about your life and what do you need to learn from the circumstances that you're going through. I pray for a spirit of encouragement to rise up. I believe if Joseph could walk next to us right now, he would say, be encouraged. You're going to make it. Don't give up. Don't focus on the accuser and the things that have been done wrong to you, because Joseph was done wrong. But he focused on God and he said, I'm going to come through this thing. And I just pray for that spirit of courage to rise up in every person, no matter what they're going through. I pray that everybody here today would know that you're with them, that you're in them, that you're for them. I break every spirit of discouragement right now in Jesus' name. Get off of God's people. Leave them. Spirit of doubt and unbelief, go now in Jesus' name. Now, while our heads are bowed and we're praying, maybe you need to release somebody. Maybe you're carrying a big brick around that's weighing you down. And maybe they did you wrong, just like his brothers. What they did was wrong. I'm not saying what they did was right. I'm saying you need to release the past to fulfill God's purpose in the future. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. You know, I've found that when I do that, sometimes I need to do it every day. For a while, but just do it. Just keep doing it. Just keep forgiving them until you don't even have to do it anymore. But maybe you just need to release that poison that's killing you. Get free from them. Maybe you're mad at God because God didn't come through the way you thought he should or when you thought he should. Maybe he's been betrayed by a brother or a friend or somebody close. But release it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break that give up spirit that wants to make people give up and quit. And I pray for a go on attitude. Help us to continue to want to go on, to keep believing, to keep pressing on. I ask you to, wherever that forgiveness has taken place in people's lives and they've forgiven people and released them, I ask you to fill it now with power, with hope, with vision, with love, forgiveness, vision for the future. Restore the dreams, Lord God, that people have given up on because it's taken too long. Restore the hope that people have decided that it wasn't really you because of the zigs and the zags and it didn't go the way they planned. Restore the hope in every one of your people that's in this room today. Hope. Hope. Hope for good things. To be used of God, to get closer to God. And I pray for every one of us, Lord, to use every opportunity of life just to draw closer to you. Now, you might be here today and you feel separated from God. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to God and you need to do that with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's true, that's why you're here today. I mean, if I asked you if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here, you say, I don't know. I think so, hope so, not sure. Wow, that's a pretty important consequence to leave to chance. Yeah, but does anybody know, you might say? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You could know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Here's what the Bible says. You must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask Him to forgive your sins. He comes, He lives on the inside of you, He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take care of that. There might be some people here today that You want to get back on track. You made that decision in the past, but you're not really following through with it. And today is a new day. Every day, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. Either one of those two apply to you. Just slip up your hand right where you're at. Thank you. Anybody else? New day, new beginning. You want to surrender your life to Christ, recommit your life. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Man, that is so awesome. Man. Listen, if you prayed that prayer on your connection card,